It's time for Let's Go, the weekly anime podcast about weekly anime. So come along and hang with the Let's Go gang. Anthony.
Hello.
Dwayne.
Hello.
And me, Brian. No Niall this week. No voice for Brian, apparently. Dude, excuse me. Anthony, you weren't here for our preview.
Yeah.
So is there anything you're looking forward to?
Nope.
Okay, excellent.
There's actually far too much that I'm looking forward to. It's disgusting, yeah. Actually. I'm not going to go into detail. Do you want the main picks?
Yeah,
or...
main picks. Obviously JoJo's.
Obviously JoJo's. I'll probably be forced to watch My Hero, My Little Witch Hero Academia.
Well, honestly, I don't know. We'll try it.
I don't like the manga that much.
It's available, yeah.
So I'm not crazy. Yeah. So there we go. Other than that, there is Joker Game. Mm. Anybody else have that in the list? Because I've not listened to the episode. No?
No.
Okay, well, it's serious stuff.
Yeah.
It's in World War II. It's
which one
lost of
which
twists
one
and betrayals.
The Joker or Joker Game?
I say Joker's the good one. Joker Game appears to be a show where if the villain out of Concrete Revolutio was the hero.
Yeah, yeah. I think that's how you pitched it to me as well.
Oh, well. I don't know what that means, but... Either way, it's on the list, and I think it looks good. Ace Attorney, Phoenix Wright, why the heck not?
I'm kind of curious, yeah.
Yeah, I've got the games ready to play, and I don't know... follows the games.
It seems to be just a retelling of the first game, from the trailer, at least. Anyway.
Yeah, I guess I'll have to play the game first, because I don't want to ruin it. See, I've got some of the names written down here. I can't remember what the bloody are. That shows how... How big a deal they are. Oh, how do you say it? Kiznaiva?
Kiznaiva, maybe.
Kiznaiva, that trigger show.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Stray Dogs. Is that what people are calling it? Bungo.
Yeah. Bungo Stray Dogs, yes.
Big Order?
Oh, yeah, I haven't got on the list, but yeah, I don't know which one you're talking about.
Yeah. That Attack on Titan thing, because it'll probably look nice.
We're just going to call it that. No.
Yeah, I think everybody is. Macross A? Is it called Macross A or Macross
Delta.
Alpha? It's a Delta symbol. Right. Okay. The DJ show, DJ Agitaro.
Yeah, Tom Katsu DJ, yeah.
That one. I would like to watch
Snap
Rene.
Snap will have someone to cosplay while he's DJing.
That would be brilliant. That would be brilliant. Nobody would probably even realise.
No.
Rene, whatever. We watched it a few
Rene,
episodes.
Yeah, second season of that, yeah.
One day, because I think it deserves...
Yeah, because I think we enjoyed that first episode.
Yeah.
And it is adapted by the woman who... Oh, my stomach. Did that come off on microphone?
I didn't hear anything.
That's good, right. It suddenly made a growling noise. The woman who writes Secco Boys adapted that. So.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, did she?
And she does some of the scripts for Mr. Osomatsu as well.
I've got Twin Star Exorcists, which I don't know why, but it just looks like Sword Art Online. So I thought I would chuck that on the list. It's got that look to it. I mean, there's a few others I've got on the list, but Beyblade, why the heck not? Endride. Can't remember Brian telling us about that ages ago. The two different character designs and such. I'm sure there's another one. But they're the main bunch. Oh, yeah, there's a Blood Blockade Battlefront OVA apparently as well.
Okay.
So, that. There you go, that's quite a lot.
There's plenty, yeah. Plenty
however many of them I'll watch, I don't know, but...
Yeah, we're going to have to drop some things that are probably good because just for sheer time.
And add it to the list.
Because that time is the time spent watching a good thing. Could we spend watching an episode of Dragon Ball Super?
Oh, is that a diss?
No, it's not. But...
Oh, okay.
It's a diss based on the earlier episodes of Dragon Ball Super.
Yeah.
Mm. Talking of episodes of Dragon Ball Super, this week's episode was Change Your Fury Into Power, Vegeta's all-out battle, in which Vegeta faced off against Frost.
And what an epic battle it was.
It was. One punch! It was all it took.
For Vegeta to beat Frost?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, Frost
it's like...
It
builds it up as like, before, I was kind of laying it low and playing like my fucking strengths down. But I tell you what, how about you let me do all the cheaty moves I did before? And the referee's like, no, you'll get disqualified. And Vegeta's like, I'll allow it. And it's like, you can't just keep changing rules. It's like, what about the rule about me killing you? And it's like, before I was holding back and hiding, and now I'm fucking just going to come all out and come at you. One punch, he's dead.
Yeah.
He's not dead, he's taken out.
Yeah. Because
Vegeta decides not to break the rules of killing.
Frost beat the week previous?
He beat Piccolo and Goku.
Yeah. And even though he cheated against both of them, Goku's like, it's like, oh, I can totally go back in, and Piccolo's not saying anything. It's just like, I'm fucking out of this. I'm not even in this show anymore. It's fine.
Yeah, because after that's happened, so basically, yeah, Vegeta, like, he goes, Frost does all this speech. Vegeta's just like, yeah, go ahead. It's like, ring the bell, Super Saiyan, bam. Done.
And that was 20 minutes of an episode.
No, that was barely the start of the episode.
That was a couple of minutes, yeah.
Yeah, the bulk of the episode is then taken up with the goofing around in between the fights. As basically, Goku gets let back in because they find out where he was poisoned, so it was an unfair elimination, so he's allowed back in.
Even though Piccolo isn't allowed back in, I'm fucking feel cheaped out on this shit.
And Goku says, oh, well, I better go last now after Monica. And,
yeah, we'll do it in order.
And Beerus is going, no, definitely got to save Monica for last. You're going in before Monica.
And Whis is like mumbling, it's like Monica fucking fainted as soon as she saw the
Yeah, as soon as he saw the Kamehameha. First Kamehameha, Monica fainted.
It's like, holy shit, Monica fainted. And so Monica's just sitting there with his, is it a he, right?
Yes, it is.
With his eyes open, like, looking like he's, like, oh, and he's like, you can't disturb Monica. He's meditating, and he destroyed a whole planet once when someone disturbed his meditation.
So there's the question of exactly why Beerus has invited along this fighter who apparently is of can't no fight. Use whatsoever.
Yeah. It's an odd, like, is he just bullshitting? He's like, oh my god, this fighter is so strong, you guys, so strong. It's like, it's just some asshole, isn't it? It's just some guy you picked off the street.
I don't know. But obviously he knew him.
Yeah, he must have known him beforehand, like an old friend of his. He owed him a favour. I don't know. It's really weird.
It is a mystery. Then we get Champa's sort of arguing for a rules change. He wants to make it a cage fight, basically.
Yeah, because his part of the dome keeps getting smashed by dudes getting knocked into it.
Yes. So they make...
I was like, yeah, I guess that is, it's like, it's dangerous for the audience. It's like, no. What he's saying makes sense. He's totally doing it to cheap out the next fight. You can tell from his shit-eating grin.
So it's basically to add a ring out to above the ring. And so flyers can't just avoid the ring out by flying around.
Oh,
all the time.
That's clever. It's about time they did something like that.
Yeah, but he's using it to cheap out for the next fight he has set up because he's a little shit. But it's fun the way they're like going like, you can't fucking change the rules partway through. And he's like, I just thought it'd be a good idea. It's like, let's rock, paper, scissors.
Yeah, the rock, paper, scissors is great. I mean, because they're brothers, they just do the same thing every time.
Yeah, so apparently that bit in the movie wasn't like a once-off thing. That's generally how he settles arguments. He's awesome at rock, paper, scissors.
Which, weirdly had echoes in my own life when I went to play the board game Raptor with my brother on Saturday. And each player has like a set of 9 cards labeled 1 to 9. In the rules it says, if you play the same number, then just discard both, but it won't happen very often. We were doing it all the time. So I don't know if that's just because we were brothers. I suspect so. Then we also get Frost, who's been knocked out of the arena, and he's sneaking around. He's decided, even though he lost, he's going to steal all the reward that Champa was promising his fighters.
Yeah, he brought him a big pile of gold and jewels and crowns and rubies.
He was also going to steal Champa's cube, the same flying cube.
I thought Champa was just like carrying that cube. I didn't think it was actually like, because when the kids ask him, it's like, oh, this spaceship's really cool. It's like, it's not a spaceship. It's just a cube. And, like, is it just, I thought it was just a glass box that he was carrying them to and forth, you know?
But no, apparently not, because...
Apparently it can fly.
Frost is like, yeah, I'm going to use this and conquer the universe.
With all this money.
The Galactic Patrol will never be able to capture me. And then Hit shows up, the penis-headed assassin, and says, yeah, you can't take that. I was promised that cube by Champa.
And then he does something.
He does a weird attack, yeah.
Makes the ground grow into, like, green crystal, and then holes start appearing in Frost, and then Frost is like, what the fuck just happened? Falls over.
Yeah.
You know, and then he brings him back to the thing and sits him down, I guess.
Yeah, he's wandering off, but as he's wandering off, Vados is also there, hiding behind a rock, saying, oh, I didn't have to do anything myself. So she's up to something sneaky as well.
Yeah.
That's the Lady Whis for those keeping count. Yeah.
Lady Whis and Fat Beerus.
Yeah, so there's other stuff going on around the fights now. And Champa seems the most innocent of everybody there at this point.
Bizarrely, yeah. He seems like a fair... Like, he just seems to want Earth's food. I think that's his stakes in this. I could be wrong, but he just wants the delicious food of Earth.
And show his brother up as well, of course.
Yeah, pretty much.
Who doesn't want to show your brother up?
That's just the icing on the cake that will be instant noodles.
And then we get on to the second fight of the episode. Well, the start of it, because it's going to carry on to the next episode.
Yeah.
Vegeta versus Orta Vegeta, or Vegeta. Who's the metal man.
I was trying to remember the things he kept saying, because he just makes noises.
Yes. And the Kais tease the Al regular Kais, saying, "Don't you know what that is? It's a metal man. Don't they have them in your universe?"
Yeah, because he's like, that better not be a fucking robot, because robots aren't allowed. And he starts drinking lava.
I think he's got lava inside him, hasn't he?
Yeah, so those two little glowy things that look like his nipples are like windows into his belly or something.
Yeah, something like
apparently.
That. And the more Vegeta beats on him, the more powerful he gets. And makes it hotter and hotter and hotter. And Vegeta's on the back foot, basically.
Yeah.
Because the arena's heated up, and while he can't fly, he keeps on controlling Vegeta in the sky because of this new rule with the cage.
Yeah, because the robot can't fly, so he's like, I'll just fly above him and start shooting down on him like I always do. I remember that, I think it was in like the Cell games way back. He basically did that for like a whole episode, just the throwing lots of fireballs.
Yeah.
So he can keep it up for a while, but maybe with the heat turned up, it'll be more difficult.
Yeah, it's interesting to try and figure out how he's going to beat him.
Hmm. Which is kind of fun that, you know, the tournament arc is like, ooh, this is, I'm actually kind of interested in who has stakes in what here.
Tournament arcs are always great.
Not really.
Contrary to popular belief.
Dragon Ball ones tend to be pretty good, particularly the early ones with the real weirdos you get showing up. And these are a bunch of weirdos. Yeah. And except for Cabra and Frost, but then you've got the added thing of Frost appeared to be a good Freezer to begin with. And with Cabba, you're like, how on earth is Cabba going to fight? They can't go Super Saiyan. And maybe it'll turn out that peace-loving Saiyans have got some other technique they developed because they weren't being warlike all the time. Yeah. Or maybe Cabba will just be a really fast learner.
Or maybe he'll just get taken out really quickly. We can't really tell.
That's true. I suspect Hit is probably going to be the last fight.
Yeah, they seem to be building up that kind of that interesting power thing he has. I mean, it's also possible it could be Cabba in that, you know, Saiyan versus Saiyan, that kind of thing.
That's true.
For next time, I'm going to get up to date on Dragon Ball Super, because I'm off for 2 weeks.
Woohoo!
Just thought I'd drop that little nugget in there.
I wish I'd taken a week off. After learning what we're going to do next week at work, I just thought, should have taken those 4 days off.
Can you reveal?
No, I can't, no. It's nothing bad, it's just a lot of fiddly stuff.
Oh, wow.
Right, then, let's go on to One Piece, episode 733. Wait, is another One Punch Man, I think, yes. It's Attack on a Celestial, Luffy's King Kong Gun of Anger, in which Luffy finally finishes off Doflamingo with one punch. That's pretty much the episode.
Yeah, That part is well animated, those few seconds and bits there. Yeah. But other than that, it's kind of like a lot of people are off-modeling that.
How would they? I thought Doflamingo was the man.
Oh, yeah. They've both had the shit kicked out of them.
Basically. Like, this is the last punch in the fight. Yeah. Like, you couldn't possibly beat me, what with all my power? And he's like, I'm going to fucking step up my punch a bit.
Okay.
Then. Yeah, they've both had like 10 minutes. Well, Luffy's had 10 minutes rest. Doflamingo's had 10 minutes making two sisters, a niece and an aunt try and kill each other.
Oh, yeah, I keep thinking they're sisters as well. Yeah.
But they're not. And generally being a jerk. But he's taken a bigger beating than Luffy had earlier on, but he's just stitched himself together with his devil fruit
string.
Power. Yeah.
String can do everything. I love it when he figures out a power that's just like, what's a great power? String. It's like, really? String? It's like, yeah, yeah, you can do anything with string. You could make a giant birdcage or stitch yourself back together or make giant tentacles that are imbued with haki for stabbing.
Yeah, because essentially you'd be beaten up, defeated twice already by this point. Once by Luffy.
But he hasn't quite been put down.
He hadn't done enough to break his glasses.
And he still has that grin.
Yes. Well, yeah, it breaks right just before the fist is about to crack him in the skull. Because when I first watched it, I thought, oh, he's still grinning as it hits him. But then I rewatched it. It's, no. He knew what was coming at that point.
He's like, wait a minute. The punch is still coming at my face. Oh, no.
This has not worked. Yeah, so I guess probably 2 months of follow-up and then this arc will finally be over.
Yeah.
You sound bored of it.
Oh, I'm not, but the follow-up is probably better than the fight.
Ah, okay.
Because this causes big things to happen in the world of One Piece.
Hmm. There's a lot of, I guess, government and world upheaval and stuff.
And also stuff for the Straw Hats as well.
Yeah.
And we finally get to see the other half of the crew soon.
Yeah, what they're up to. They've been missing. How long have they been missing in the anime?
A year and a half, maybe.
Yeah. It must be something
maybe
like
longer
that.
I don't know.
Because I kind of find it hilarious. Like, they're there in the intro sequence. Well, they're not here today.
Some of the voice actors have been playing other characters.
Yeah.
So it's not like they've been out of a job. Okay. Let's move on to something Anthony has watched. Lovely Muko, episode 24, the penultimate episode.
Oh, no.
Of course, on the penultimate episode, why not introduce a new character?
I know, right?
Enter Tamaki-kun, Wayushiko cried. This is a rare episode where it's kind of the same story all the way through.
Yeah,
I never thought of it like that.
Mm.
As we're introduced to Komatsu's new assistant, Tamaki, who does not like dogs.
And cannot close his mouth.
No.
And who I thought was a girl.
He's very badly animated, so you can guess whose brother he is.
That's a good point, actually.
It should be obvious. It was done on purpose.
Yeah.
And Muko, she has this involuntary growl whenever he approaches her.
Yeah, she's like, wait, I'm guru-guruing around him. Why am I doing that? That's weird.
Yes.
I don't seem to have a problem with this guy. Also, he's scared of dogs.
Yes.
He decided to take this apprenticeship not knowing that there would be a dog there, like, all the fucking time. Wait, is he a secretary or an apprentice?
Apprentice, because he's an art student as well.
That's what I figured.
Glass blowing.
Right. Yeah.
And he takes her for a walk. Or rather, Muko takes him for a walk.
Yeah.
And they have a race home.
Yeah, where they hit a tree, which is probably...
Which is very dangerous. That could have beheaded poor Muko.
It could have. But it's a cartoon, thankfully.
It is.
And not one of those sort of cartoons where dogs get beheaded.
I feel like JoJo.
I was about to say, it's not JoJo. Yeah, set me off now. Ushiko sees Shinohara in town with a man. Gets very upset.
Because they're really chummy and it's like, oh, I'll make you a curry when we go home. And she's like, oh my God, they're already shacking up.
She's got a boyfriend.
Oh.
And then so he goes round to Komatsu to...
bark like a dog.
Yes.
He's like, Muko, stop that. Oh, it's Ushiko barking.
He's like lying on the floor, hitting his fists off the ground. And
the pair of them do a lot of growling and barking this episode. And he's shocked that this man is there at the studio. But it turns out he's Shinohara's brother.
Ushiko's
relieved, but then of course he suddenly gets distressed again when he realizes that maybe she does like Komatsu after all.
And Muko still growls.
Yes, because Shinohara's there.
Yeah, because she's clicked at that point, that's why.
Yes.
The scent.
At one point, Muko acts really shocked when he takes off his glasses to wipe away tears, I guess.
Oh, yes. That is a good
Does he have the same eyes he had when he was a little kid?
I assume so.
That's what my thinking is. Like, whoa, I didn't expect those eyes on that head. That kind of thing. Yeah.
It's like Peckham's.
Maybe they're saving that for the last episode, though.
One Piece. Your tiny little eyes.
Still a good episode.
Yeah. Yep. It kind of felt a bit rough around the edges, but I like the story and the gags. And only one more, Dwayne. Only one more.
Yeah, oh, no.
Then we can replace this with Space Patrol Lulu Co., which apparently has an Inferno Cop in it.
Yeah, I've been rewatching Inferno Cop for the.
How could you rewatch that show?
Because it's great.
Like you watch a bunch of them in a row. That's how you do it.
But do you enjoy that bunch?
Yeah. I found myself even watching the character fact cards again.
I don't know what it is about that show, but I'm just so miss. Like,
really?
Watching it once, it is fine.
Oh, I hadn't watched it in so long, like so.
I guess so.
I've been re-watching bits of JoJo's to get myself hyped.
Oh, that's fine.
Yeah, yeah.
Some great episodes there.
Understandable.
The guy who looks like Inferno Cop, though, isn't voiced by the voice of Inferno Cop in Space Patrol Lulu Co. It's voiced by the guy who plays Hige in Ojisan and Marshmallow. But he has range, so I don't think it'll sound exactly the same. But we're not talking about that this week, because that's on as we're recording. So we'll talk about that next week.
We could probably sit for silence for 3 minutes and come back and see what happened. But...
So let's move on to Mr. Osomatsu, episode 24, Totoko's Huge Panic and Letter. Okay, yeah, so Totoko tries to escape the scum that surrounds her.
Yeah, she realizes that, wait a minute, I thought I was super popular, and I'm actually only popular amongst assholes.
And everyone she knows is getting on with their lives, and she's stuck dressing up as a fish.
She's at the age where all her old friends from school, including the one with a that's like a Picasso painting, is like having kids and getting married. I did like that thing. I was like, oh, hey, Totoko, I had a baby. Check it out. Also, I'm going to show you Facebook on my phone and all the friends of ours that were getting married and moving on with their lives. It's like, whoa, what a shitty friend you have.
That is so true to life.
Yeah, there is that age that you hit.
Yeah. I'm at that age now.
But it's kind of an episode where Totoko gets treated like the brothers have been treated all through the series.
But she still isn't realizing it fully, which is kind of great. She's still in her own
little fucking
bubble.
The second story. So at the end of this tale, she decides to go to Singapore and rebuild her life, learn a new language, and become a new woman. And then by the next story, she has completely failed at doing that and has come back home. So she's fallen so far, she even asks Osomatsu out on a date.
Tail between her legs.
But she hasn't realised that Osomatsu has fallen even lower.
Yeah, the second part's like the very serious episode. You know, the very special one.
Yes.
This is the award winner.
I can't remember who I saw on Twitter was saying they should do a XL Saga penultimate episode where it's serious. And they kind of got it half right, because half this penultimate episode... is completely serious.
Oh yeah.
Which is weird, because again, it's a continuation. It's one long episode, even though it's very different tone and very different style of thing of what they're going for. But it starts with Charamatsu trying to write the letter saying, like, sorry guys, I got a job, I'm going to move on with my life now.
Oh.
Which is
find out what he's going to say at this point.
Everyone's kind of happy for him, except for Osomatsu.
Who's been such a shit.
Oh, yeah, he beats up Jushimatsu. He punches Tanimatsu in the eye.
Yeah. It's the kind of, like, I guess the kind of shittiness you can only get from, like, your own family, the people who should be, like, closest to you. Because all his older brothers are, like, super stoked for him, you know. Well,
gifts.
They're also happy that they have extra space and that they can give him all their junk that is built up in the house over the years.
Yeah, that is probably the best gag, is when it dawns on him that his parents are trying to just empty the house of all the crap by giving it to him.
That is also a very human experience.
That is true, yes. I even had other parents' stuff given to me.
Anything to clear out their houses, sure.
Yeah, you need some furniture. We don't want this anymore. You take it.
Take this old kettle. Does it work? Not really, but, you know, you might need it.
But it's sad though, like, him being aggressive, yes, he's being a dick, but I remember, this is true to life, when I first moved out, I had a day where I was in such a pissy mood because I knew I was going to miss home, I knew I was going to miss things. So it's like his weird way of failing to deal with it, I guess. It's sad.
It kind of goes Charamatsu moving out, and the second one to decide to move out is Tadamatsu, yeah?
Oh, I can't remember. I still fail to remember who's who now.
Because I think it's Toshi. When all of them are seeing him off and
yeah, he moves been hired into a haunted house, apparently.
Yeah, when this says, oh, you got to move into a thing, there's ghosts and things, and as we know from earlier, he has trouble going to the bathroom at night by himself.
Karamatsu goes to live with Chibita.
Yeah, because of their old friendship. Again, it's making a lot of callbacks this episode. It's kind of nice.
And we see him like trying to find a job.
Yeah.
And not really succeeding. And then even Ishimatsu is like... Oh, no, Jushimatsu gets a job next, a part-time job.
Yeah. But he has to rein in his enthusiasm for her.
Yes. He leaves. And then even Ichimatsu's fed up with Osamatsu.
Yeah, he's the last one to leave, actually. Yeah. Because he's saying to Osamatsu, he's just like, hey, listen, this has got to happen. This is just the natural way of it. Okay, bye.
Yeah. Jushimatsu's going to stay at Dekapan's house, isn't he?
Yeah, he's got
his part-time job.
I'm working at Dekapan's lab.
Yeah, and Ichimatsu just may well be homeless. We don't really know.
Because two people like help him to his feet when he collapses. It's like, so have you just decided to live on the street?
Yeah, preferable to dealing with Osamatsu.
Yeah, the kind of moments there where freaking, like when just after Charamatsu moved out, where Toddy is kind of going back upstairs in a kind of a huff to smack him with a magazine. Like, fuck's sake, dude, say goodbye to your fucking brother. And he, like, basically the next time we see him, he's leaving with a black eye. And it's like, Jesus, some shit's going down. Really good one.
It was.
Now, do you want it to keep this tone for the final episode? Or do you just want to, because I kind of just want it to now go absolutely berserk.
Like episode one.
Yes. We set you up with this heartbreaking tale, and then we're going to pull
it'd be
the
good
rug out from under you.
Yeah.
I don't know, because when the humor hits for me, it's really, really good. But this was just better. I like this serious. I couldn't do it week in, week out, but it's not. It's going to be ridiculous.
No, there were still jokes in the serious thing.
There was. But the stuff where like they were crying, seeing them off and stuff like that, I was like, oh, God. I can't even remember your names, but it's a sad. But yeah, it was a good one, actually.
Yeah, I'm not sure where I'd like them to take it, but yeah, I'll be excited to see it anyway. It's such a good show. The way it can manage to do like this kind of serious stuff, even amongst all the complete madness of the rest of it.
I think it hits harder because of how insane it's been.
Yeah,
definitely.
It wouldn't have the same tone if it took it seriously all the time.
No.
Yeah.
No, it would just be wrist-slitting depressing.
yeah, you got to have a little bit of a mix there.
Right.
Like raised.
Talking of a mix, let's go with Lupin the Third, Part 4, Episode 21, From Japan with Love, in which Lupin returns to Japan to save Fujiko, but gets lured into a trap from a detective whose name...
Akechi.
Yeah, Akechi Holmes.
Is this guy from anything else?
I don't think so, no, but he seems like he should be.
Yeah,
all of this squad.
Right? That would be a great fucking show where he goes around being a really fucking cocky, somehow traditional in modern time Japanese detective. With a fucking fedora.
And basically,
I like his little buddy.
Yeah,
his little buddy.
His little Sherlock Holmes kid. I wasn't sure if that was a boy or a girl until he got embarrassed by Fujiko.
True, yeah. That character's voice sounds very familiar as well. I was going to look that up, but I forgot.
Oh, okay.
Sorry, guys.
But yeah, basically, this episode, Fujiko gets to be the Lupin, basically.
Yeah, again, it's kind of like a callback to your man literally says Fujiko's just small fry. What does she matter without Lupin? It's like, no. She's very super competent at what she does, guys. She's good at playing people. Like, she's the best at playing people.
Yes, as Lupin gets captured and Fujiko has to figure out a way to break him out.
As soon as they saw Zenigata off, I knew exactly what the plan was.
That's fine, though.
But it was really good. I was like, I like this reversal.
Oh, it was perfect.
Because what is it? Zenigata's carting him off in one van with one dude, and he's like, "Wait, you only bringing one guy?" It's like, "Yeah, Luban's a master of disguise. The less guys I have, the better
which
it'll
we've
be."
Had established.
And he looks like Jigen as well.
He looks like Jigen. Looks like Jigen wearing a fake beard.
It's not just a van. It's an adapted tank.
That's right. It's an adapted armored car kind of thing for prison transport. That was pretty great.
Yeah, this is such a fun episode.
Oh, it's hilarious.
The character designs, the animation, there's like loads of little details in the background as this chase is going on and the chase inside the...
The opening.
Yeah, the opening. I think what sort of...
Luban ducking and diving around and swinging around
great,
was perfect. It was good. There's lots of Zenigata shouting as well. Screaming at the top of his lungs. That's what every episode needs.
I did like the bit at the start as well, because it seemed to be he's veering into the wacky, broken by Luban in the earlier episodes, Zenigata, when he's reacting to the woman saying, "Oh, you need to protect our doll," kind of thing. I actually like that as well, the way they changed the Leonardo da Vinci painting to that classical Japanese piece, because it was just this one isn't in Italy.
It's related to the artist who's the Leonardo da Vinci of Japan as well.
Yeah, exactly.
And also, so you get Zenigata who's looking lustily at this woman, and then we realise later on it's Lupin in disguise. Like, that seems a little out of character. It had me fooled. I was like, for a moment, I was like,
you were thinking he was being
character.
Not competent to Zenigata again. Yeah.
And I was like, oh, it's Lupin. Of course it's Lupin.
I honestly really like the trope of you can just pull off a rubber mask and anyone can disguise their entire voice and size and
mannerisms.
Yeah, it's just like, oh, you just need a rubber mask. It's fine.
Well, yeah, there's the one story which they adapted for the big box set they did, which was straight out of the comics, where basically every single character is disguised as one of the other characters.
Oh,
that
sounds great. Good stuff. I love those hijinks.
Yeah, that was very hijinky. And then second episode was episode 22. I'm gonna get you, Lupin.
That was 23, wasn't it?
No, it's 22 on this.
Oh, sorry, I must have.
Remember, there's two extra episodes,
which
weren't airing, and therefore we're not getting on Crunchyroll.
Okay, that's probably
okay.
Yeah,
sad times.
Well, they'll be out on Blu-ray in Japan. And so hopefully if someone licenses it, they'll be included in that as well. But they were aired in Italy.
Hence, do you know what they entail? Are they just kind of
I think the one between 21 and 22 is telling how Rebecca met Lupin.
Oh, I want to watch it.
It sounds pretty good, because I really would like Rebecca to get more episodes.
Well, she did hear episode 22.
She did hear, yeah.
No, it's just as much a Rob episode.
Oh, yeah, Rob gets his screen time.
Because basically Rob's trying to get Rebecca to give up.
Also, it's making him look way more competent than her, because it's basically like he gets her out of every situation. I'm like, that's kind of downplaying her
on
again.
On the thrill-seeking.
Yeah. It's like, oh, I'm so glad you've decided to move into winery and, you know, being a celebrity and doing all this stuff. I wish you could get out of the rags, but, you know.
He's worried how he's going to face her parents in heaven if she dies doing these things. Well, surely she'll have to face them first.
Yeah, but I feel like he's made like a promise to look after old chestnut.
And meanwhile, Lupin is he's just breaking into numerous banks.
On the same night, and the police are just running around trying to catch him.
He's flicking through every bill, and I was like, what do you want? What do you need?
Yeah, eventually I figured out that he was looking for a particular one. Why?
Oh, yes,
I was never going to guess. Because it is a ridiculous reason.
It's perfect.
it's the height of laziness and the amount of trouble he'll go to be that lazy. It's pretty great.
But yeah, it's kind of Rebecca and Rob learning that they need to work together as a team.
Mm-hmm. Mm.
Yeah. I like the idea when Fujiko meets with Rob and she's like, you do know if Rebecca ever kind of catches Lupin, she'll no longer be interested in him.
Because it's all about the thrill of the chase.
Yeah,
kind of that's
just Lupin as a whole.
Yes. And also, she also points out it's not just the thrill of the chase. It's like if Lupin was ever to settle down with one woman, he'd stop being Lupin.
Yeah, that wouldn't be the man she fell in love with. Yeah.
Oh, such a great, like, it's had its moments at the start where I was kind of like, yeah, it's all right. But it's so good, this series. It really is.
Two more episodes to go.
It's annoying.
But just think, next episode of this podcast, we're going to be watching, talking those two last two episodes, and the first episode of JoJo's Bizarre Adventure Part 4.
That's why I took two weeks off.
And the last episode of Erased.
Oh, perfect.
And the last episode of Secco Boys.
And Lovely Muko.
Oh, sad times.
And Mr. Osamatsu. And Oji Silent Marshmallow.
Mm. It'll be a sad finale. Are we going to write each other a letter? like the twins?
No.
It's not really a finale. We're continuing
yes,
on.
Yes, we continue
JoJo's
on.
Started.
Yeah, so next week we'll be back calling ourselves Let's Go JoJo again.
Thank God. A name that we've not heard in a while.
It's been a while. But yes, so we'll be back. We'll open with JoJo each week and then we'll do the other stuff after JoJo.
Mm.
I don't know if the week in JoJo's news is returning. Possibly not.
It depends if there's news or not. Yeah.
I don't think
there's always great news.
I don't think I can have the time, if I'm watching this much anime, to trawl through all the Japanese Google alerts to find really obscure surveys anymore.
The surveys were the best as well.
Well, we'll see what comes up.
The bloody game. The game news can go elsewhere.
Yeah, it's always the same. It's always another release on that mobile game, which we can't even play yet. If we could play the game, then...
Yeah, it might be more interesting.
Sure. It's one episode.
And yet more trailers for Eyes of Heaven.
Oh, that game. Sick of hearing about it.
Why isn't it out?
I don't know.
It's not that I'm excited.
That's a funny thing.
We were talking about it for so goddamn long. I was like, is it out?
I'm guessing they just have to spend so much time programming more characters into it.
Yeah.
See if there's a release. Oh, well, good times ahead. It's greener pastures.
Yeah. Well, I'm obviously most hyped for Concrete Revolution's return.
Yeah,
that should be fun.
There was a new JoJo's Eyes of Heaven trailer 7 hours ago. 7 hours ago, there was a trailer.
Apparently, it came out in Japan.
Okay.
In 17th of December.
Well, the original trailer was released in 2014.
Summer here.
Maybe we'll have to get it.
It's arena fighting, though. That's not your thing, is it?
It's not really, no. All those anime beat 'em ups, Dragon Ball Z, it's just nah.
So you'd probably be better off with the previous one.
Yeah, JoJo's. I'm nervous. Imagine it was shit.
Have you seen the second lot of trailers?
I've not.
Yeah.
I don't know whether I want to, because I've already read a bit of the manga and it was awesome. I don't really want to... I want it to feel fresh, as fresh as it can.
The trailers are pretty much like, hey guys...
Check it out.
Yes. Jotaro Kujo's in this, in case you didn't know.
Oh, awesome.
Just in case you were disappointed by new characters. Don't worry about it.
Yeah, I think it's like there was the three they showed in different towns, and I think each one's got like a different character doing the voiceover. But it's a lot of the same footage.
Mm.
Slightly different footage each time, but a lot of the same footage.
So just to check, is this a Erased episode that will be out later this evening after we've recorded? Is that the finale?
I believe so.
Yeah, I think so.
What's going to happen? Because I obviously haven't mentioned it, but I was furious after last week's episode.
Oh, yeah, we should talk about this, yes.
Yeah, I was
furious. Oh, yeah, actually, if you want to talk about last week's one.
I mean, I enjoyed the episode. It was quite sad on the whole, and it's like, oh, no, you know, you've lost your girl. She's with Hiromi, all this kind of stuff. And then he does the stupid thing when, you know, when you realise, oh, this guy's the killer. Stay quiet!
Unless he has a plan, like,
I'm pleased you're behaving like this, Anthony. Because this was how lots of people on Twitter were behaving. Wayne and Niall seemed perfectly fine with this.
I'm fine with it depending on how they handle it in the next episode now. If he actually just stated it because he's physically unable to attack this guy, if the guy attacks him, and he stated it to him on a fucking rooftop, then he's a goddamn fucking idiot. But if he actually has a plan, I'm fine with it. And I assume he has a plan.
I don't know, because I'm predicting if there's one episode left, I think they're going to stand and talk on the rooftop for a full episode, and one of them's going to get pushed off the building. Or both of them. And I genuinely, genuinely believe that.
I don't think they stand and talk for a whole episode.
I don't know, because I don't think there's any other characters that are going to be able to have an impact on the story, if that makes sense. Because I like to think this reality he is in now is a fake one, because it's not benefiting him. Which is a terribly mean thing to say, because everyone's relatively happy. His mother is being a star. Looking
well, see, I think it's the thing
time.
If he wanted to make the world a better place for everyone else, he wasn't really too concerned about getting his own ass, like,
that's
fucking
true,
killed.
That is true. I mean, so, in theory, he's lived his life to that point, because he remembers it all.
Yeah.
You know, from when he was an adult previously.
Yes.
He's had his fun.
Yeah, and where was he before? He was just delivering pizza. So yeah. I'm going to bet this ends with him finally getting motivated and submitting his manga. Better.
Yeah, that seems likely, especially with the thing of him... especially with the thing of him drawing the girl.
Yeah.
I know you're upset that he didn't end up with her, but I kind of like the way he's just so freaking happy that she's alive and living her life to its fullest and that kind of
thing. I was so upset.
Yeah, I don't know. I think the genuine happiness he has, I'm kind of like, yeah, oh, good for you, man.
It reminds me a bit creepy.
Yeah, that's the thing as well. The little bit of creepiness that is like, did you, like, fall in love with a fucking child as an adult? That's kind of weird.
It's interesting where the reporters are kind of, you know, they're trying to make that fake scoop. Like, look, this guy, he's been a, you know, he's a kid trapped in an adult's body, and he's fallen in love with this other patient, and trying to, like, weave this awful story. It's like, yeah, it's kind of what he did earlier in the past world.
Not quite, but yeah. Okay.
Well, no, not quite. I can see the innocence. I'm not trying to make it a darker show than what it is. Oh, I'm nervous now. I didn't realize this was the last one, or the one to come was last.
Yep. Mm.
Oh, God. 20 minutes of talk on that rooftop and someone gets pushed off. There you go. And it's his mother who I'll feel the most sad for.
That seems to be the suggestion from the intro, that someone's fallen off the roof.
You're right.
Yeah. I mean, that's been in the intro from the get-go.
Well, that was in the intro to Mad Men from the get-go, so...
That's how it ends. And that Don Draper... And good spot, Dwayne. I think it was you, because I listened to that episode where he's not in the intro.
Oh, you didn't actually spot it?
I didn't click.
Yeah.
Because at that point, I was just watching the episode. I wasn't, you know.
It's kind of like you tune out for the intro bit.
And I love I think it's a great, great song as well. So I guess I'm more focused on the song than...
Yeah, I've always liked their song.
That's sad. Oh. I'm going to get it on Blu-ray, I think.
Yeah,
just try and give it to people to watch. I'll say, watch this, but don't watch the last episode, because I feel you'll not like it. That's how I feel at the moment.
I guess watching the last episode will determine if you actually want to buy it.
I'll watch the last 2 minutes of it, and I'll tell you what I think.
Oh, don't! I like how people's opinions are so torn. Like, people on Twitter, some people just detest it, but they still watch it week in, week out.
Yeah, that's the kind of thing when people get hooked, you know.
Maybe they're doing podcasts as well.
Well, I'm watching this because I'm bloody enjoying it.
Hey, you've got 2 weeks off, Anthony. You can catch up on Concrete Revolutio.
Are you going to say One Piece?
Coming strong on season 2.
That could be a good idea. If I put my head to it,
yeah,
that is a good idea, you know, and I'll come in the master.
I'm not sure if watching all those episodes in a row is going to make it even more confusing.
Did I watch 2 initially?
I think you'll be fine. Yeah, you watched 2 initially. It's 3 is where the twistiness and conspiracy bits start to come in. And then,
well, I remember back when you first watched 1 and 2 and you're like, I don't see what's confusing about it. And I was thinking, yes, yeah, it's probably not that bad. And then I watched 1 and 2 and I was like, God, this is confused.
You just have to pay careful attention to the
what age people are at, like, and they generally change.
Yes,
their
costumes, lost, but they always give you like a date when it's telling you which timeline it.
And there's some points where it's like you're not sure if it's it's set in the future, but you're not sure if this is a scene before the scene you've seen in the future already or just after. Yeah. And then you figure out from other background details, it's like, oh, this is actually just before he did that thing that I've previously seen him do.
But yeah.
You're just watching it in the wrong order kind of thing.
It's kind of episode 4 and 5 where it sort of lays out its ambitions.
Yeah.
That
two-part
kaiju history thing.
Yeah.
Pro tips. Concrete tips.
Righty-ho, I think that wraps it up this week. Yeah. Better get this up before Easter. We'll be back next week with Let's Go JoJo. Woohoo!
Is there a new intro?
There is a new intro. There's a new outro.
Oh!
So get excited for that. No more Orko's theme from He-Man. There's something else.
Is that what that is?
Yes, because it was a pun on our friend Evie's Orko Anime Club. We were going to be the Orko Anime Club.
Oh, right.
It's a hidden joke finally revealed in the final episode of Let's Go. Anyway, if you can't get enough of us, you can check out our regular podcast at secretofthesailormadness.blogspot.com and dynamiteinthebrain.com. Goodbye.
Oi.
Goodbye.